It's fun to be inquisitive. Be nosy. Stick to your passion. Find out more for yourself. Quest is fun. Join me, Tristan Pang, on a journey of inspiration. Welcome to Youth Voices.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Youth Voices. I'm your host, Tristan Pang. Today, we have a very special guest, my mentor, Andrew Patterson. Andrew first came onto my show in 2015, and today he joins me in the studio to talk about his recent travels. Hi, Andrew. Thanks for joining me on my show today.
Great to be with you, Tristan.
So, recently you came back from a trip to Africa. You went to visit Madagascar and Kenya. What happened there? Why did you go?
A couple of years ago, or in fact, last year, I had the opportunity to do a series of interviews for the University of Auckland. It was called 40 Under 40, and what the university did was identify 40 people under the age of 40 who had, you know, really achieved well in their time after finishing at university. And one of the stories that I wrote about really interested me, and it was about a young engineering graduate who had travelled around the world. He'd done quite a bit of backpacking, but he was really interested in a lot of these very poor countries that he went to. He would meet these incredibly smart students, and he would teach them English variably, and there was very, very little prospect that they would ever be able to end up in any sort of a job. And he thought a lot about, his name was Sam Lucas, and he thought a lot about this when he came back to New Zealand, and he thought, wow, wouldn't it be amazing to try and set up a program that would probably teach them the two most important skills, which would be English, because obviously, you know, everything kind of has to be done, it's the universal language, and secondly, that he would teach them coding and computer literacy. And it's this idea that you could outsource them into the first world from the countries that they are in. So he thought about this for a while, and then after about a year, he'd saved about $20,000. He chucked in his job and moved to Madagascar. And what fascinated me was that he actually had never visited Madagascar before he left New Zealand. He did all this kind of research online, and he looked at countries around the world. And what he was particularly interested in was countries that had the lowest broadband cost, so that he could set the school up and it would cost them the least amount of money to run it. And he found in Madagascar, it's a very poor country actually. I think it's ranked by the UN in the 10 or 15 poorest countries in the world. But the one thing the government has done very well over there is that they've built a very good mobile broadband network. And so it amazed me that when I travelled around the country, it didn't matter where you were, you could get, you know, perfect mobile reception anywhere. And so he's developing this program. He's got the first intake of students. And I am writing a big story for the Herald on that, which will come out in the next month or two, about what he's done. And I'm really inspired by his story, that he was somebody who gave up a lot because he's lived in Madagascar now for 3 years. He set this whole thing up in a very poor community, hasn't seen his family, hasn't been back to New Zealand for 3 years. The $20,000 of savings he put in, that all went in 1 year. So his money all green. And now he's got a whole lot of friends and family who have given him more money to sort of keep the whole thing going. But I think it's a really successful model. And what he wants to do is try and roll this out around the world eventually. But that was the main reason for the visit. And then also I spent a bit of time in Kenya, which really interested me as well, because I'd always wanted to visit Kenya. I got to do a safari, and it's amazing. Yeah, it's just an amazing country to visit.
Wow, that's really cool, Andrew. And going back to your part of your trip in Madagascar, so you went into the school, right?
Mm.
What did a normal school day for the kids there look like?
Yeah, so that's a really good question, because a normal school day for them is incredibly intense. What they are having to do is learn English in 10 months.
Wow, so from zero knowledge.
From zero knowledge. And what Sam did, the part of the story that I didn't mention, that I should mention, was that he knew that he needed pretty smart students on this program. Mm-hmm. They needed to be, you know, really high-performing students because it's going at such a pace. So what he did was he spent a year going around all these high schools in Madagascar finding the 30 smartest students in the country, and he developed his own exam that he had to do. And what was really interesting was that he didn't design the exam based around, you know, like pure maths or pure English, because he didn't want to disadvantage anybody who was perhaps not particularly good in that area. He developed the tests based on, you know, abilities in different areas, so that you could test spatial skills or test learning skills. And he was looking for students with a capacity to learn quite quickly. And sure enough, he identified them, and then he offered 30 students the chance. But to your question about the day, so their day starts at 7 o'clock in the morning. Their lessons start at 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. What really inspired me was a lot of these students get up at 4 a.m. in the morning to do 3 hours work before they start school, and then they do that, and then they have breakfast at about 8:30 for an hour, and then school goes right through till midday. They have 2 hour break for lunch, and then it goes right through till about 5 p.m. And then they have homework to do at night. So most of them, you know, finally get to bed at about 9:30, 10 o'clock, 6 hours sleep, and then the whole thing starts again the next day.
Well, that sounds really intense. So they do this program for how many years?
So they do it for 2 years. So that's right. So the first year is English, and the second year is coding. So they do all their computer studies in the next year. And then what the plan is that after 2 years, they can then begin to be outsourced into other countries. A little bit like what's happening in India at the moment. You know, if you want coding done, it can be sent to India. It can be done, you know, very, very cheaply. And that's what a lot of these companies are doing, and what they're trying to do is do the same thing in Madagascar.
Wow, that's really cool. And what's the hope for Sam in the future, kind of?
Well,
expand the program.
Yeah, that's right. So he wants to take this program around the world. He wants to, you know, he thinks that his view is that this could apply in any developing country around the world, and it's a really cool idea, because when we think about it, every country in the world has that kind of standard bell curve of talent. You know, there will be 2-3% of people who are exceptionally gifted in every country around the world. And the sad part of it is that in developing countries, the ability for people, you know, who are highly intelligent, who've got ability, is about zero, you know, to be able to get those sorts of jobs. And it's such a waste of talent. And this is the part of the story that Sam was really interested in, is how do you create an opportunity for these students that allows them to use their talent for the good of the country and not just waste it, which is what he's trying to do.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Andrew.
Next month, Andrew will talk about his lifestyle in Africa and his future travel plans. But now let's take a look into the person Andrew talked about, Sam Lucas. So in this next clip, Sam talks about his ideas.
I'm Sam Lucas, from New Zealand, but now I live in Madagascar. That's my new home. Travelled the world for a year. Big part of that is before I even travelled to any developing countries, travelling in Europe or America, and wherever I went, I didn't have much money, so I really relied on the kindness of strangers. And that put a lot of faith in humanity for me. I do remember being in Cambodia and just sort of had the idea that, okay, there's all these talented young people who don't have employment to go on to. And I guess so their local economy doesn't have a demand for their skill, right? But globally we do. So I always sort of thought about a way to sort of get them into the global outsourcing market. It started in my final year of university where 8 volunteers and myself taught 2 of my former students, Sidhu and Invista in Cambodia, to make websites. So that was sort of the beginnings, and teachers would Skype every Sunday for 1 or 2 hours. Then Sidhu and Invista would sort of do their own work throughout the week to supplement that. And after a year or so, Sidhu and Invista could make pretty decent websites and went on to make some professionally. That validated the idea, the potential we have. So I looked into doing it on a bigger scale, basically. We're now working with the Malagasy government. So what we're doing is asking them for the nationwide exam results. So this will allow us to sort of pinpoint highly intelligent people all over the country. projects will really help in identifying highly intelligent but disadvantaged students that will be suitable for our program. So once we've recruited our first class of 30 students, we'll start education. So that will last for 2 years. And after that, students will move into employment at our outsourcing agency, and then we'll really start to see our impact, because it will be money into the students' family and, of course, into their village and their local communities too. Onja's not a gift. It's essentially allowing people to use their talent. And it's their brilliance that improves their lives and sort of opens that opportunity for a whole lot of others just like them. Onja means waves in Malagasy. And the whole idea there is our model has the potential to bring waves of education and employment to not just Madagascar, but anywhere in the developing world.
In 2017, Sam was interviewed by Stuff.
So Madagascar is a really poor country. And I guess like all poor countries, there's a huge number of young people who are highly intelligent, but who just don't have the means to continue their education and, I guess, make something of themselves, to help them help their countries. So basically, it's just a huge waste. So our plan is to find highly disadvantaged people that are also highly intelligent and basically teach them English and programming in 2 years. After 2 years, they'll begin working for the agency, which falls under the social enterprise, under the non-profit. And each person that works, each student that graduates and works for the agency will bring enough money for the organisation to educate a further 7 students. And that's really what makes it unique.
As Andrew mentioned, he was writing a piece on Sam for the New Zealand Herald, and this was published on the 17th of August in the business section. Here's an excerpt from Andrew's piece on Sam. For 29-year-old Sam Lucas, Madagascar has been his home since 2015. After launching an ambitious education and training social enterprise that is already improving the lives of a group of talented students, his is a story of perseverance and determination against the odds that began in 2009. After completing his final year at Westlakes Boys High School on Auckland's North Shore, and restless for an overseas adventure before embarking on an engineering degree, Lucas decided on a gap year backpacking through Europe. However, he eventually found himself in Ghana, teaching English and maths as a volunteer. The experience was to have a profound effect on him. He said that, like most backpackers, I didn't have a lot of money at the time, and I came to rely on and trust the kindness of strangers. I lost count of the number of people who took me in, gave me a place to sleep, food to eat, and unreserved kindness I could never repay. The experience made me think long and hard about what I wanted out of life and only increased my desire to do something meaningful. End quote. Along the way, he also taught plenty of very smart students whose job perspectives was just about zero. Returning to New Zealand in 2010 to start his university engineering studies, it wasn't long before he was once again packing his bags, this time for Cambodia and Laos to teach English during the summer holiday. Once again, he found highly motivated students who were hungry to learn and valued the opportunity to improve their English. It led to an idea Lucas was keen to test, continuing to teach the students from New Zealand using Skype, but also including coding in the teaching program. Lucas recruited a group of fellow students at the University of Auckland's Engineering School, and their lessons proved popular, as the students in Cambodia lapped up the opportunity to learn a subject few would have otherwise had the chance to study. Graduating with his engineering degree in mechatronics in 2014, Lucas would have liked to work on his project full-time, but with student debts and bills to pay, he got a job at Fisher & Paykel Healthcare, working on the project in his spare time while managing to save $20,000 towards the starting capital. He says his commitment to the idea was unwavering. So that's it from me for today. Feel free to write to me at youthvoicesnz@gmail.com and to visit my website www.questisfun.org.nz/youthvoices. That's quest-is-fun.org.nz/youthvoices. Remember to tune in next month for the second part of our talk with Andrew. See you then. Bye.
Join me again for another exciting program next month on the first Wednesday at 2:10 p.m. or listen anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/youthvoices or listen to the archive on my website www.questisfun.org.nz/youthvoices. Youth Voices.